Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the only good thing I'll say in relation to this song is this guy sounds like he's walking by himself.
This song, Joe, is called The Boulevard of Broken Dreams. I think that applies.
I got it. We are walking
Boulevard
together.
Of broken dreams.
So this one really sits very, very heavy on the heart. And God darn. Rhea, how am I going to not curse today and get fired? I don't know how to.
Well, we have a dump button. Yeah. I don't have one, so you're going to have to rely on James.
Oh my God!
I mean, this is one of those things where you want a video into people's homes. I know I threw things, and yeah, the dog was not happy. But it was just, and then you turn on there was no relief. The whole thing about this week, except for Game 3, was there was no relief. No. From the awfulness.
You're right. There was nowhere to turn.
No.
All right, well, one spot
there were places to turn, and then you were let down there, too.
That's true. There were places to turn.
Gut punches. Left, right, left.
Can a Eagles kick returner catch the ball?
No.
I mean, is that possible?
No. And we gave how much away for the Big B guy?
Six, I think, Richie, a fifth and a sixth.
Two.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Guy can't catch the ball. I mean, you got to get rid of him. You got to get rid of that Bigsby guy. I mean, he's just got to go. He's horrendous. He's horrible. We're not doing the Novacare rehabilitation injury report today because obviously our focus is on the Phillies and to a certain extent the Eagles game. But we'll certainly do that Monday. Rhea, obviously they're going to have some stuff is Jalen Carter a one-game absence or more? We'll see. But Rhea, we look forward to talking to the Novacare doc on Monday.
Yeah, from Novacare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Want to thank Dr. Chu was ready and he'll be ready for us on Monday.
Yeah, I
Jalen Carter
that.
Being a somewhat surprise scratch is very concerning.
John, I was really the wording by Ian Rappaport was interesting to me because he said he was a surprise, guy who wasn't going to play, and Carter's decision, the way he wrote it, was in part due to the MetLife turf.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say, Rhea. We can't complain after having the vet for 40 years.
Oh no, I know.
We don't have the moral high ground on that one.
Oh no,
and the Quinion too, man. That's terrifying. Yep. Like hamstrings, we know.
Oh, that's a disaster. That's not good. All right, so the Phil's obviously top of mind. Eagles certainly a secondary topic, but out there as well. If you want to react, obviously what we're reacting to is the Eagles, the Philly season ending. This wasn't the only thing that went wrong last night. The hitters didn't hit for 3.5 hours, but let's listen to how it ended as called last night, and then we'll get to what Kirk Green specifically said about one of the all-time blunders in the history of Philadelphia sports. Let's listen to how it went down last night.
Swing and a broken bat, comebacker. Kirk Green knocks it down, picks it up, throws wildly home to the backstop, and the season is over. The Dodgers rushing out past Orion Kirkering, who stands with his hands on his knees bent over. And Kirkering, who had an easy out at first base, but he threw wildly to the plate all the way to the backstop. And the Phillies season has come to an end.
It was right there to be had. I mean, it was just pick up the ball, throw to first base. It wouldn't even require.
Pick up the ball. Look at your catcher. He's pointing where you should throw.
Yeah. It would not have even required a 98-mile-an-hour fastball to first base. Like, he could have gotten over there pretty comfortably. Really comfortably. Let's listen to what Orion Kirkering said after the game. Probably not since Mitch Williams in 93 has there been a singular player where you wonder after the game, how's he going to handle it? Because, you know, this is not just a Philly sports blunder. This is an American sports blunder. And I do feel bad for the kid. I really do. But he crushed our dreams, obviously, and his teammates' dreams and his own. And it's going to be a horrible stretch of time for him up ahead. Let's listen to how Kirkren handled it last night when he talked to the media about what happened.
Hit off my foot. Just kind of, once that pressure got to me, I just thought it was a faster throw of the JT, a little quicker throw than trying to cross body of the Bryce. So, just a poor throw.
Yeah. Did you hear them calling, telling you to go to first at all? Or were you just in the moment that it wasn't even?
Just in the moment.
Yeah.
Can you see JT pointing in that moment, or is it just kind of looking up?
Just kind of looking up, just be ready.
I mean, a lot of guys at Liberty, and Nick was one of the first ones there. Just what guys say to you in that moment?
Just keep your head up. It's an honest mistake. Just, it's baseball. It happens. And just keep your head up. You'll be good for a long time to come. It's not my fault. Just had opportunities to score. Just keep your head up.
Conversation with Rob, too. What did he say? What does that say? I mean, do you care about those guys picking you up so quick?
It means a lot. It shows they care a lot.
It was nice that the guys all came to him. I mean, it was immediate. I mean, Rob Thompson, obviously, JT right away. I mean, that stuff was nice, but
was he breaking up at the end there?
Sounded like he was. No, he wasn't.
He
I can tell you
why.
He didn't
end up breaking up. Yeah.
Well, did he later, James?
No, I'm saying in that spot that went on further. Right, there's another like 30
Correct.
Seconds.
That went on.
Yeah,
he did not thereafter because we ended it there because then it got into less interesting stuff and he was not crying after that. All right, let's get to. To Drew right now. Drew, good morning.
Hey, good, yeah, good morning. They should have won that game 1-0, Joe. I mean, the intentional walk, there are a lot of reasons why you intentionally walk a batter. Last night, you know, the double play wasn't in play. We didn't need to do it for that.
Yeah, but Durant, it's Ohtani, Drew. You can't minimize the fact this guy's probably the second best hitter in baseball behind Judge. I mean, I know he didn't hit much in the series, but to act like Ohtani is Marsh would be foolish.
No, not at all. But to me, it's the opposite analysis in terms of who's up next. Okay, Mookie Betts is no slouch, right? So yeah, if it was a big drop off, but it wasn't. Okay, it's no drop off based on how Ohtani was going. I mean, and Duran faced him in the late season series. He retired him on a comebacker the first game, and then I think he walked him the second game, not intentionally. But to me, in a 1-0 game, I just didn't want to put that in play, tying the game on a walk. If it was 2-0 and you want to walk Ohtani, fine. But
it's scary. Listen, Drew, here's my retort, because I get your point, and it's scary, and you leave yourself out there on a limb. But if you don't walk him, think about how many plays last night Stott and Turner made that were really excellent, where they at least secured an out at second base, even if they didn't turn the double play. You know, so by walking Ohtani, you do create a force at every base, which, you know, happens a decent amount in baseball, where you just need to get it anywhere and you can get an out and that's it. So I understand your point, but I'll tell you this. I don't think it's a no-brainer your way.
The problem with Duran was that he just wasn't aggressive enough with Mookie. That's what bothered me. I mean, his command was not there.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it aggressive. I'd say his command. I mean, he was wild.
He couldn't throw a strike when he had to.
Yeah.
That's what it came down to.
Yeah.
He did not do his job.
And Drew, like, this is one of those things where there are things to look back and criticize, you know, Rob Thompson on, and Drew, appreciate the call, on things that he did wrong that you could have expected to happen. But, I mean, think about what we're talking about here. It's trusting your best bullpen arm by far, who in his entire career had never walked a batter with the bases loaded. I mean, at a certain point, you got to acknowledge the athlete's got to do the job instead of it being the manager's fault.
Rob Thompson's experience, too. He had one walk in 20-plus innings with us. One walk.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think you can put that on Rob Thompson.
Rob Thompson for putting him in.
Yeah, and again, let's not act like Shohei's a chump. And I get your point that you're going to Betts, but you're also going to a righty-righty matchup instead of a righty-lefty matchup, and that does matter. Lou in Mount Laurel. Lou, good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. What a horrible night.
And
I know it's just the first night, but the Flyers also with a loss.
Yeah, 0-3.
Everybody loses.
I don't know if this is going to come up or not, and I know this might not be the day to say it, but if this is next year with the automatic review, we probably win that game 1-0 because that was a disgraceful missed call on Sanchez for that third strike. Mm-hmm. And that was the run that scored their first run. Mm-hmm. I think that mm-hmm. has to be looked at the same way, and I could care less about the Padres, their fans, or the city of San Diego. They got hosed, too, on that elimination game on a similar call. I think we have to look at that, too, that did not go in our way at all.
Sanchez doesn't come out of the game if he gets
no,
that.
No, and that. Apparently yeah. Sanchez said strike. After the game that the umpire apologized to him for missing
that's
the call.
That's a problem.
Wow.
Because that run changes the game, or
no
potentially
question.
The series.
Robo ump, Joe, are you in for it now?
I'm still a no, but I hear
How
your point, Lou.
How could you
Lou.
Be a no after that?
I'm still a no, but Lou, I hear your point. It had
it
a monumental
changes
impact.
The series.
I understand. I get it.
And,
I get it.
And unrelated, Joe, now that things are dying down and you're getting healthier, we got to make that book reading happen soon, brother. Am I cool?
I appreciate that, Lou. I'll be in touch with you, man. I got your info, pal.
Yeah. Thanks,
Thank
guys.
You, Lou. Lou, appreciate right. the phone call, man. What a brutal one. Well, there ain't no upbeat.
That song
happy music.
Manic depression.
Yeah. Nothing good about today in Philadelphia sports. Nothing. Nothing good. We'll talk to Elliot in about 10 minutes. We'll be heaviest on the Phils with him, but a little bit on the Eagles as well. I'll cover the Eagles quickly here and then the Phils and then to the calls. Eagles, I'll just tell you, and some people might have missed the game, but I watched all of both. It was obvious mid-third quarter the Birds were going to lose the game. They were getting whipped, and the whipping just got worse from that point on. And last night was the first time that I thought the Eagles really might miss the playoffs. They've now been outgamed in all six games they've played.
I'm not worried to that degree.
Okay. They might, man.
They're 4-2.
I know.
They've won. They've lost back-to-back games.
Very lucky to win some of those games.
Which is a problem.
Yeah.
But they've got an incredible roster, and I do believe they can figure some things out.
No, they might. I mean, they certainly might, but they got a lot to figure out. And they're now, you know, it's not just the players they lost.
No, Jalen Carter really hurt.
Well, I know. But
the fact that he was a surprise scratch or a somewhat surprise scratch, that's problematic.
Well, and that tells me that's less problematic for me. That tells me he'll probably play next week. But who knows? I mean, maybe it's why he hasn't played as well. I mean, the combination of injuries. But look, we knew that they had a lot of guys missing from the Super Bowl team last year. And now you add Jalen Carter for however long he's out. Quinyon's probably going to be out. I mean, a hamstring's never good.
Probably a month.
Nolan Smith is about a month. Landon Dickerson's probably about a month. It's not good. I mean, they don't even have a freaking kick returner and catch the ball. Anyway,
Lane Johnson saying that everyone knows exactly what they're running every play. Like, I mean, it's bad everywhere.
That's a real problem. The cornerback situation is abysmal.
Horrible.
Keely Ringo is problematic.
And Makuba's now starting to get exposed to
that. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah.
He was probably the worst Eagle last night. He was horrible.
Okay, but Keely Ringo needs I don't know that he can be put back out
He's
going to be picked on, like, and teams are going to win.
Yeah,
this guy is
horrible.
A liability.
He's horrible.
Oh, losing right, Darius Slay and Isaiah Rodgers mattered, huh?
Exactly. All right, so the Eagles thing, totally on the table. But the Phil's the main topic for all the obvious reasons. It's absolutely devastating. And, you know, I have an aunt that was texting me earlier saying, you know, 64 Phils for her will always be number one, and rightfully so for anyone that lived through that. But, you know, this is really high on the list. In my lifetime, this is not Joe Carter's homer, and this is not losing a Tampa in the last game at the Vet when I was utterly convinced the Eagles were about to go to the Super Bowl. But this is top five. It's the combination of having the pitching ready, having aging players who could have won a World Series but are likely to only get worse. You know, younger players who are not exactly lighting the world on fire to replenish the system. I mean, you know, I'd like to – I'm happy that Stott and Marsh played better as the season went on, but it's not like they played well in the playoffs. You're probably going to lose Ranger. You know, you got to figure out the JT and Schwarber thing. You got to figure out the Bader thing. I mean, the Phillies, let me be very clear. The Phillies are still going to be, at the very least, very good next year because you can't have this level of starting pitching and not be very good unless a whole new slate of injuries, you know, wipes them out. But the problem is they're wasting opportunity, and they're doing so in very aggravating fashion, i.e. not hitting, bullpen issues, some managerial issues, although I don't think so last night. And then, of course, the topper is an all-time moment an all-time 5 seconds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That will go down in infamy.
Oh, forever, Joe.
I forever, Rhea.
I mean, it was so forever. Routine. You just, it was like you had just watched the worst train accident you've ever seen in your entire life.
I said before, Joe, like as much as it sucks, in 50 years, Orion's boner will be the thing that people remember about this series. And honestly, probably nothing else.
Yeah, in 50 years, you're probably right. Because that replay will be shown all the time. And, you know, he just lost his head. I mean, you gotta know if the ball comes back to you where you're going with it, even if you fumble it. And the reality is, the guy on third doesn't start on third. By the way, he was fast. Let's start with that. Number two, the guy on third isn't on third. He's down the third base line as the sequence begins. So he already has probably a 15-foot head start. You know, he's running on contact.
That was a pinch runner, Joe. That's a great point. You haven't pointed that out. It was a pinch runner.
Correct.
It's the fastest guy they had to put into that
spot.
Correct.
If there's one out, you have to come home.
Joe, didn't you guys say earlier they should have called a timeout and just, you know, like talk to him?
Didn't go through my mind. I guess they could have, Rhea. I didn't go through my mind.
Like you should have, somebody should have said, okay, here's what needs to happen on this
play. But he needs to know, Joe, to your point again, like literally when I started playing baseball as a kid, I remember so vividly the thing that my dad pounded into me first was know exactly what you're going to do in any situation.
Yep.
Wherever you're playing in the field, if you're on the base pass, if the ball goes to first base, what are you doing? To second base, to short, to third. If it's a fly ball, if it's a line. Like, know in any situation how you react and make it instinctual.
Totally. James, the only thing I'll say in the pitcher's defense is he has a lot more to think through than the right fielder.
True.
Because the pitcher's thinking about the pitches and less about the defense.
He's got a lot more
definitely
to think
true.
About.
Yeah. That's
but
definitely
he's got
true.
A real big hint with JT pointing it first.
He probably couldn't hear him, John.
Okay.
Probably
he's got
couldn't.
A real big hint with JT pointing.
Yeah, but his head,
I think
but
that's
his head
why
was
I threw
down.
It away.
His
I think he looked
down.
Up, saw JT pointing, was already throwing, and that's why the ball went away, is my guess, and saw it was not going to be close. I think that was part of why he ended up throwing it away.
Yeah.
Not that it mattered.
He was never going to get the guy at home anyway.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah,
I think he looked
no
up,
shot.
Saw he had no shot, saw JT pointing, and kind of just like let go of the ball in a weird spot because he was like, damn. You know?
But I really do believe it's an example where home field advantage in that game mattered. I don't think he could hear. And communication broke down. Use a Led Zeppelin term. Communication breakdown. And that's it. And it's an all-timer. All right, let's go to the phones. Reaction on everything. Brandon right now in Brookhaven. Good morning, Brandon.
Wow. What a night. I was so looking forward to Thursday night to see the Flyers, Eagles, and Phillies. Let me start off with the Phillies. I mean, I don't really blame Rob Thompson as much as others probably do because the bats just didn't hit.
No question.
Besides game three.
And it wasn't let's put Castellanos as the two hitter. I mean, in my opinion, he sequenced the lineup right. And the guys just didn't come through. They just didn't.
I'm not so sure about Marsh being.
I mean,
as
who?
Far.
Kepler? I mean, the guy hit .214 this year.
Kepler was hotter than Marsh was.
Well,
maybe just JT and go righties back to back.
Pretty
much.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But even that's just a one spot difference. I mean, you're still going to get to Marsh sixth. I mean, you know, we can't act like he had all these great options at the bottom of the lineup. He didn't. And again, this is partly the effect of the Bader
Harrison
injury.
Bader,
yeah, it really
that
hurt
makes
him.
The difference.
Yep.
But I will say this. This hurts more than I hurt more than anger because I loved that Phillies team.
Me too.
I really wanted to see Bryce get that World Series. He can pander to me all he wants. He won me over. I mean, it just hurts.
It does.
And to hear, I didn't know. I heard you guys say about the ref apology. I mean, not the ref. The umpire apologized to Sanchez about missing that call. That makes it worse even for me. Yeah. That does not help me one bit whatsoever. Then the Eagles. I figured, okay, well, Flyers, I'm not expecting them to win. But, I mean, they worked. Then I turned the Eagles game. And
yeah,
see,
I expected
effort.
The Eagles to win. And, but the Eagles expected the Eagles to win, too, and they showed up like it didn't matter.
I don't
the
think
way
so,
they
John.
Played.
I disagree with you. I think they got whipped. I don't think they didn't show up. I think they got whipped.
They didn't show up.
I'll tell you what, man. Those two young guys for the Giants are good. And, I mean, the Eagles are missing a tremendous amount
of
firepower.
They're rookies, Joe. They got bullied. Yeah. I'm sorry. The Eagles are lucky that the Phillies season
night. I think they took them lightly. I'm with
John.
No,
I don't. Guys,
I really do.
I don't think the Eagles right now are that good. We got to remember, they were exceptionally lucky
too.
To win some of those games earlier. Like, I don't know that the Eagles are good.
I think both things can be true. I think they took the Giants lightly. And also, I think that every team is going to give you your best shot. Like, they got the Giants
exactly
came into that
right.
wanting to win that game desperately. And the Eagles were like, it's the Giants. We got this.
I don't think so.
That
so.
Entire
really
team is celebrating like they just won. That was their Super Bowl. That's what we get every week. That's why we can't just show up and expect to.
I disagree with you guys.
Dominate
but
by our mere.
Anyway,
presence.
Brandon, it was a brutal night, man. Joe, just brutal.
Joe, if I just really want someone to ask, like, when you talk to Dick Vermeil later on today, why on earth is an NFL team calling plays that I, a fat guy who never played football on the couch, is watching can predict? That's the only thing I cannot understand about this Philadelphia Eagles football team.
Well, it's not the only thing, because I'll give you another one. Why can't they get the play in on time?
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? And Brandon, good call. I mean, that was all over the place again last night.
All season long. They've had five games going into that one to correct it. Like, it's insane. They've talked about it being an issue, Joe, and it's still happening.
Yeah. Rhea, what was the quote from Lane Johnson? Do you have it there?
Yes. Hold on.
Lane said after the game about play calling?
It was Zach Berman posted it. Lane Johnson said, the last 2 weeks, you kind of know what it is. You know when the pass is coming. You know when the run is coming.
Yeah, that's very damning.
That's a yikes.
And here's where...
There are a lot of people talking about that based on the depth of the back. There are people talking about, like I know from personal experience, you've got, your toes at 7 yards for certain runs, heels at 7 yards for other runs if you need different degree of room. If you're pass protecting, why would you be at 7 yards? You need to scoot up to 5 yards, so you're closer to the line of scrimmage just in case they try to come after
the
quarterback.
That's good insight.
There are little things that you adjust that became very predictable to defense to everyone who was watching.
And here's where it gets even more complicated for the Eagles.
And every team's
it's
watching.
Not like going to Sirianni as a play caller is what people would say.
What are you
going to
do?
I don't know,
what
Rhea.
What are you going to do?
Because, 2 years ago when they changed coordinators in the season, obviously that didn't work out either. So there's a lot of different spots here where it's like, well, I don't like that option, I don't like that option, and I don't like that option. I don't know what they're going to do. I know this. Last night was the first time that I watched this year's Eagles team and said they might miss the playoffs. And you know why? Because they might. Let's go to Jordan right now in Princeton. Jordan, good morning.
Is it, though? It is not.
No.
It is not. It is really challenging to wake up on a morning where not only did the Phillies lose, but I also attended the Eagles-Giants. I don't even want to call it a football game.
No.
The Eagles-Giants debacle last night. It's really not easy to watch two sporting events at once. It's really challenging to watch both of the teams just tank it at the same time. That's just how I felt about effort in both.
Well, I totally disagree with you on effort, Jordan. I thought the Phillies tried their hearts out. They just lost. It was two excellent teams going at each other. It was not an effort issue in any way with the Phillies at all. And by the way, I don't think it was with the Eagles as well. I think these guys are overrating how good the Eagles are when they say the Eagles didn't show up. I think the Eagles tried their hardest. I think they're not that good right now. I really believe that.
Is it not that good, or that the Eagles didn't show up in a game where they thought they could breeze through it?
We're both, potentially. Jordan, I appreciate the call. We're both. All right, let's talk to Elliot Shore Parks. He was up there in New York last night, or I guess Northern Jersey, but I know he had his eyes all over the Phillies game as well. And we love having Elliot on the program. I mean, Elliot, what a... And by the way, Elliot, hang on one moment if you could, please, because I want to get to you in 1 minute. Let me say, Elliot joins us coming up in 1 minute because we got something to read right here. Elliot on both teams and the debacle of last night up ahead in 1 minute.
In Pennsylvania, no one wins bigger in workers' comp than Pond Lee Hockey Giordano. Led by Sam Pond and Jerry Lee Hockey, this powerhouse law firm is built on grit and real-life experience. Sam's not just a lawyer, he's a tough union kid from Northeast Philly. Sam's known for his courtroom fire, fighting like hell to win, and the fact that he's an actual boxer. His son's a boxer, just flat out tough and fair. This firm has recovered billions for injured workers and people like you. Call Pond Lee Hockey Giordano today for your free consultation. They'll fight like hell to protect your future.
All right, let's welcome Elliot to the show after just a devastating night last night of Philly sports. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
I mean, horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. So let's start Phillies, and let's be predominantly Phillies. What is your reaction to the Philly season being over?
Yeah, you know, if you would ask me 2 days ago how I would feel when the season was over, I think I would come on here and say, you know, I'm not shocked. This is what they do in the playoffs. The bats don't show up, you know, to think this is the same group we saw in 2022. But I have to be honest, like, when that game ended last night, like, I did feel a sense of pride in that team. And I actually
They fought like hell, Elliot. They fought so hard last night.
Yeah, and I think they showed me something they hadn't shown me really since prior to that Diamondback series. So I still think, like, when the emotion of it wears off, like, Dombrowski does have some tough decisions to make. But I also leave this series, you know, I think they kind of have some new building blocks, or at least, like, players that I view as, like, the cornerstones of the franchise. Like, what Lizardo did last night, what Ranger did, what Sanchez did. Like, I know they're pitchers and, like, you know, not everyday players, but, man, I'm more into running it back than I thought I would be, and I know it sounds crazy, but that's just genuinely how I feel after watching, you know, these last two games.
Well, here's the
running
here's,
it back with Ranger is going to be
well, that's going to be
pricey.
Hard, Elliot. Here's where it's really, you know, I don't know if tricky is the word. Their starting pitching is A+. Their hitters for a playoff team. Again, I've been saying this all year. I don't judge the Phillies versus the Pirates because the Pirates are irrelevant. There's about 10 teams that matter. The Phillies, for a playoff team, hitters are about a C. They're not a very good group of hitting team collectively. I mean, when Brandon Marsh is your five-hole hitter, you got a heck of a problem. And that, to me, is the main thing they've got to solve. They've got to get hitters. And given the contractual realities of some of these guys, it's going to be not easy to go from a C group of hitters to a B-plus group of hitters. It's really not.
I agree with you on that, but I think that point would hit me harder if the Dodgers hitters weren't also pretty bad in this series. Like, Otani didn't really do much, right? Like, Freddie Freeman didn't do much. So it just feels like two great teams played with great pitching, and the hitting on both sides hurt as a result. But the other thing I think last night showed me, and this could be a good segue into the Eagles, unfortunately, is, like, I thought the main issue with this team was the bats and the fact that they went cold. I think ultimately when you write the obituary of this team, the main problem was they made silly mistakes and beat themselves. And obviously, ironically, the way they lose the game is the ultimate self-inflicted wound. But, like, yes, the bats weren't great, but this team all season just made mistakes they did not have to make, whether it's base running mistakes, defensive mistakes, yes, swinging at pitches they shouldn't swing at. Like, whether Topper goes or not, we'll find out. But I think 2 days ago, if you would have told me why should they fire him, it would be because he was unable to fix the plate discipline. But I actually think now that they're eliminated, the main reason he should probably go is they got away with stuff all year that then hurt them in the most crucial of moments in terms of just silly mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Another word for that is sloppy. Like, you can call it sloppy baseball. And I hate to say that's what it was, because we have so much veteran experience. It shouldn't look so sloppy. What do you think? Rumors, Topper retiring, stepping back, that sort of thing. If he does not step back, do you think it's time to move on?
Elliot? Yes. I would move on from Topper. And it's for the reasons, you know, I kind of just said, like, They're just a sloppy team, and I think they played hard enough, and Topper deserves credit for that. And I don't think you need to like completely blow it up because, you know, they did run into a great team and it was a competitive series and all that. But they do need somewhat of a culture change. Like, they need a little bit of a facelift going into next season.
I agree.
Look, it could prove to ultimately be like when the Sixers fired Doc Rivers for Nick Nurse. Like, it just doesn't matter. The players are who the players are. But you got to try something. And, you know, talk about fixing the top of the lineup and all that. Like, Trey Turner's probably not going anywhere. Bryce is probably not going anywhere. We'll see what they do with Schwarber. So it's going to be hard to truly, like, reshape the face of the lineup. I think, and obviously the pitching you don't want to really do anything with because that's in good shape. So I think the only chance they have to make, like, a substantive change with that, it would be Topper.
Yeah. I think they can do some other stuff, but my main point is they're not going to be able to change 17 different things, and I think that's kind
exactly
of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, Ellie,
yeah,
let's get to the Eagles, and I want to keep it on the short side because I really want to prioritize getting as many callers on today as we can. But quickly on the Eagles, two things. One is last night was the first time this year I thought they might miss the playoffs. And I came up with an accounting of who played in the Super Bowl that didn't play last night, and it's an astounding list. And I'll just say this. It's like, to me, it feels like the only guy they added was Jahad Campbell. Like, adding some of these scrub cornerbacks doesn't count as adding something. That's just filling a spot. That's not adding someone quality. Here's who they're playing without. Jalen Carter, the shortest of the short-term injuries. Quinyon Mitchell's probably going to miss multiple weeks now. Nolan Smith's going to miss a month. Landon Dickerson's probably going to miss a month. Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, Darius Slay, Isaiah Rogers, CJ GJ, Mekhi Becton, and Kenny Gainwell all aren't coming back. I'm telling you, Elliot, when I see how they were lucky to win the games they won in September, I look at this team and say they could miss the playoffs legitimately. Your reaction?
Yeah, I think the season is in serious trouble. And just being in the locker room, being around the team over the past 2 weeks, I would say, you can sense it. Like, they know they're not playing well. And I thought for the first time last night, I felt a little bit of a feeling of, like, they don't know if they can fix it. Like it just going through the motions, saying the same things after the game. Yeah, we know we'll get better. It's execution, one block away. It's like, you know, just saying it to say it at this point. I'm not saying they're not trying.
Sure.
I believe that they're trying down there. But it just feels exactly like 2023. Like, it's reliving 2023 just with different names. And I thought what was so telling about last night, again, if you want to, like, compare to the Phillies, like, 2 days ago, I would have said the Phillies were the team that wouldn't show up. The Eagles flat out did not show up last night. And I heard you say, Joe, a little bit when I was on hold, like, they might just not be good. And you're right. Like, I do think you're correct about that. But part of that is you never see a Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts team get, like, pushed around the way they did last night. The quote I kept thinking of was when they went to Baltimore last year, and the big talking point going into the game was, could the Eagles handle the Ravens' physicality? And then Nick came out after the game and said, no, they had to handle our physicality.
Right.
Like, where is that mentality? Like, the Giants are bad. Like, they are a bad team. The Eagles made the Giants look good. And it's just shocking to me that the way it happened was just getting pushed around at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I disagree largely, Elliot. I really do. Because I think it's the lack of players. The guys I just referenced, the 15 or so guys not being there, that's why I think you interpret it the way you did. I just don't think the guys out there.
Think,
and by the way, Makuba's given up like a touchdown every game now. I mean, it's. I don't want to say he's a disaster. Maybe he'll turn into a good player in future years, but he is hurting them now. And I thought he was horrendous last night.
So, it's funny. I mostly agree with you, despite the fact you're saying you disagree. Like, they might just not be good. But at the same time, like, think about this, right? If Jalen Hurts, the franchise quarterback, has a clean pocket and hits a wide-open Devontae, like, they maybe win that game. Who knows, right? They weren't playing well, but they go up. They have momentum. And, like, while the role players they've brought in have not been great, their great players haven't been great either. Like, Jalen has not been good this year. There's been moments where he's looked okay, but if you were to say, has Jalen been more closer to a bad season or a good season, he's way closer to a bad season at this point. I mean, that interception last night, that was so uncharacteristically Jalen. So, yes, I think the coaches, who I'm sure we'll get into on a non-Phillies day, Like, they need to be better. But the reason I think the coaches need to be better is this is so far beyond scheme. Like, running it more from under center is not fixing this. This team has, like, fundamental problems right now that the coaches hold responsibility for figuring out.
All right, Pod. Elliot, we'll talk to you a lot more about it next week, obviously, as we do a deeper dive. Thanks for being a big part of the program. See you, bud.
Yep, talk to you, sir.
All right, Elliot Sher Parks. Let's get to the Twitter poll questions of the day. We got two different polls, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Now in stock at Armin Chevrolet, the stylish and safety pack 2026 Equinox. It has arrived. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, with the way the Philly season ended, which emotion do you feel more this morning? Is it A, anger, or B, sadness? I'm in the sadness camp. I'm sure people are going to be very split on this. Second poll question, do you want Rob Thompson back as the Phillies manager next season? Yes or no? My instinct, early instinct, gut feeling is yes. I want him back, but I also know I need some more time to kind of digest it. I think this is going to be a multiple-day process for the Phillies themselves to figure it out. And I lean yes, but candidly, I'm not certain there. No Pete the Hammer today, so no need for anyone to call the contest line. We're pushing that aside because this is too an important, you know, right now sports day to be messing around with a trivia game. We'll get back to that next week. Drew in Westchester. Drew, your reaction to what went on?
Hi, folks. Yeah, listen, you can say, you know, I'm not seeing the bigger picture, and this is like the equivalent of being, you know, mad at the janitor and not the CEO, but I just got to get this off my chest. Orion Kerkering, look, he seems like a nice kid. I'm sure he's going to make a good living, have a good career as like a middle reliever for the Chicago White Sox. He cannot throw another pitch for this team, and I don't believe he will throw another pitch for this team. He's messed up too many times in big spots, and I'm not at all shocked about what happened last night. And Joe, I love you. I usually, often more times than not, agree with your take. I'm just not in the mood to hear about effort today, because effort's great. Effort can overcome, like talent, but it can't overcome attention to detail. And for 3 years now, this is a team that just has not taken care of the details in the playoffs. I can point to probably 10 different things where if one or two go differently, they probably win the series. But too often, just they don't dot the I's, they don't cross the T's. Then this, outside of the starting pitching, this is an organizational failure from top to bottom. And it's like, fool me once, what's the saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, like shame on me. Like, they've fooled me three times now. This core just has.
John, do you agree with him? Because I largely disagree. Do you agree with him?
Absolutely. It's sloppy. Sloppy, sloppy is the problem. Consistent. When you can go and do what we did in the third game and I mean, blow them out and then turn around and get, you know, I mean, so, abysmally yeah. blank.
Drew, here's where I largely
that's
disagree with you.
Sloppy. Yeah. That's what that leads to. Discipline is the root of greatness in any sport. I don't care what sport you're talking about, and we don't have it. I love Topper. I don't think he imparts the discipline necessary.
Drew, where I largely disagree with you, and I made this point before the series, knowing that this was a 50-50 series, I said there is a very legitimate chance the Phillies lose this series to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who might be the best team in baseball. And it doesn't mean the Phillies, I don't know how to put this, like stink or a bunch of bums or totally undisciplined, as you're saying. I mean, you know, three of the four games were razor close. Unfortunately, they lost all three of them. But I don't view the Phillies as a team that couldn't have gone further. They just didn't because they kept losing these close games to the Dodgers.
Year after year, they bottom out when it matters.
But I view this one different than the Mets. The Mets were such an inferior team last year that beat the Phillies, and that should have never happened.
I'm with you, Joe.
Well, talk to me, James. What do you think?
The Dodgers are an all-time great team. No joke, this might be the best collection of talent on a baseball team I've ever seen in my life. Like, in terms of just pure talent that they have as pitchers and hitters, I might have never seen a more talented team put together in my life. Like, I get it. I'm angry and sad. I am both things today. Right. And I agree with a lot of Drew's points. Like, I do think that this team was not as buttoned up as they needed to be. I mean, we saw Kyle Schwarber get picked off first base. We saw Bryce Harper make base running mistakes. Brandon Marsh,
all these things.
So for it to end on a blunder, like it does, and it's an all-time, you know, moment. Yep. But like, I do think there is some credence to that. But I don't feel that more than I feel that I do think they fought really hard in this series, and I'm proud of a lot.
Great.
Like, I'm not
Isn't
proud of Harper.
Job?
I'm not proud of Trey and Schwarber and the way they hit.
But
like Jesus Luzardo, Christopher Sanchez, Ranger Suarez. Like, I can make a list of guys where I'm like, those guys fought their asses off, man.
Sure.
Jesus Luzardo.
Everyone's
like,
supposed to fight their asses
off. But John,
like, why don't we have
the Dodgers
wheel
were better,
defense.
And it sucks.
Just like the Dodgers. But think about how they nailed the wheel defense to win the game.
The Phillies didn't have to, but I'll say this. Bones play last night where he busted one bad, like the Phillies defense in the first six or seven innings was
brilliant,
beyond spectacular. I mean, they pulled like five or six plays out of their ass defensively last night. I couldn't believe what they were doing.
That's because we're basing that off of our previous experience, which is inconsistency defensively.
How do you net out? Where do you net out on all this?
I'm getting more furious as the morning goes on. The pride and all that
right.
doesn't.
Oh, great job, guys! You lost.
It doesn't
in a
resonate with me
fashion.
After last night.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And here's my whole thing with it goes on this. In a couple of days, I may say, hey, you know, the pitching did this. But after Drew's point is they have suffered blunders at the worst possible time. That when that happened last night, I was just like, it was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I'm with you.
Then get mad about it.
I am mad about it, but I can also acknowledge the Dodgers were great. Like, here's my point.
The Dodgers weren't that great. They were
No, they are. You're wrong. You're wrong.
They won the World Series last year. They're awesome.
I'm not talking about last year. The Phillies were toe-to-toe with them.
Yes.
And blew the first two games
at home. Great job being toe-to-toe.
And it might cost Rob Thompson his job, and maybe it should.
Because they made mistakes.
They did, but you can't say they didn't fight. Like, I agree. They made mistakes. They did dumb things.
No, I never brought
so
up fighting.
So I'm proud that they fought. Like, they made dumb mistakes.
But
you can
pride
be,
is never going
can
to come
both,
after a game like
can
that
be both
and
angry,
season
and,
ending.
I can be both angry, upset, and proud of certain guys on that team.
Well, look, we'll see how you net it out on the phone lines. Talk to us, because there's a lot going on here. 215-592-9494. Let's also listen to Rob Thompson on a couple of key issues from last night. We're gonna go through a variety of elements of the game and what he said about it afterwards, including the intentional walk. When Duran intentionally walked Ohtani to get to Betts, obviously it didn't work out because he then walked Betts. But let's listen to what Rob Thompson said last night.
Yeah, that's Duran's first career bases loaded walk. So, I mean, you're not expecting that. And just his ability to throw strikes, really wasn't expecting that, but you know what happened.
I can't get on Topper on that one. He trusted his best reliever, who had only walked one guy with the Phillies and never had walked the bases, you know, a guy in with the bases loaded. I know that. Look, that one can go either way. It's not an easy decision. It's not. But I was okay with the decision in the moment. Didn't work out. Let's get to pulling Luzardo. Now let's all go on the record where we were in this moment. When he pulled Luzardo, I was apprehensive, but okay with it, because my viewpoint was Luzardo might be about to hit a brick wall. The guy pitched a couple days ago. By the way, I also still might need him in 2 days for two or three innings, maybe, because the other team's got Otani to pitch, and I've got, like, nothing for Game 5 to pitch, other than maybe Nola gives me three innings, maybe. I don't know. So I was okay going with Kirk Green, because I was fearful Lizardo was maybe starting to lose it. John, what'd you, before we play this audio of his explanation, what did you think in the moment?
I was concerned because of it's Kirk Green. I'm concerned.
So you would have preferred Robertson?
I would have. Yeah, absolutely. And Kirk Green is not my first option, not my second, not my third. I loved Lizardo, the job that he did. Yeah. I was fine leaving him. But if you need to replace him, Robertson certainly would have been a better choice.
All right, Rhea, in the moment, you've got Lizardo door one, you've got Kirk Green door two, or someone else door three. What'd you want?
I'm boarding up the door with Orion Kirk Green, okay? and this is and James will tell you. All game.
Oh, yeah, we were texting.
I was texting him going, please don't bring him into this game. Yep. Please don't. So you can sell me on, pulling Lizardo, although I just think that kid has guts.
He does. He does.
And a little moxie, and I like it.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah. But just anybody but Kirk Green, because I've seen him falter too many times.
I'm with you on that. I mean, the Kirk Green thing was brutal. Seltzer, where'd you net out?
Yeah, despite us arguing a second ago, I'm 100% with Rhea. Like, I could have kept Lizardo in. I was fine with pulling him out. Like, I can't. It was Kirk Green was my issue with this.
Well, I will say this. Two things really hurt the Phils in this regard. One, it looked like Robertson had hit a wall. And so clearly Topper didn't trust him. You can say maybe he should have, but let's be real. How many people entering last night really trusted David Robertson after how he pitched in the last week of September?
But I trust him more than Kirk Green in that spot after Kirk Green pitched the night before.
I don't know. After Kim, I'll say this.
Series, like,
James, after Kimbrel 2 years ago, like, the Kimbrel thing was rattling in my mind. This guy might not be good anymore.
So I blame Rob Thompson for game one, though. Like, I don't think you should have brought Robertson back out. Robertson came into the seventh and got an out. Yeah. Like, he got the job done. Like,
well, can I tell you who I blame the most in all these guys?
He's a 40-year-old veteran in a spot like that. Like, if nothing else, I know David Robertson's going to throw the ball to first base if he gets hit back to him.
Can I tell you who I blame more than Robertson, Kirk Green, Strom, who pitched well last night, Rob Thompson, and all of them combined?
Is it Jose Alvarado?
Jose Alvarado.
I agree.
He killed them.
Sure did.
He killed them. Let's listen to what Rob Thompson said last night about pulling Lizardo for Kirk Green.
Just with the two righties, and Zeus had 30 pitches on him with 3 days rest, I didn't want to push him too much further. Really, going into the game, thought about just one inning for him, really, because it's kind of his side day. But he was so efficient in the first, we decided to send him back out in second.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one that they can cut either way, and obviously it didn't work. Let's listen to the Topper on the lack of hitting, which was extensive in three of the four series. I mean, let's be real, neither team really hit much in the series. Phillies actually scored more runs than the Dodgers in the whole series, but Phillies' lack of hitting, particularly at the top of the order, was a killer. Here's Rob Thompson last night.
Dodgers have really good pitching, So, I mean, their lineup's good, too, and they didn't score a whole lot of runs either. So it really comes down to the pitching. They pitch great. We pitch great. It was a well-fought series. They came out on top, unfortunately, and that's the way it is. And feel awful.
One of the things, well, I'll say two things on this regard that's a killer. The Phillies had 1,000% had World Series winning ready starting pitching. This group in 2011 are so far and away the two best I've ever seen in my life. We may never see it again. I mean, we went through it earlier. There might not be a spot for Ranger next year. You can want him back all you want, but when you have the Wheeler thing, we don't quite know when he's going to pitch. Plus Nola, who's got a no trade, plus Sanchez, plus Lizardo, plus Painter. I mean, the design is to have him here next year. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you keep Ranger. So,
and he's going to be so expensive.
He's gonna get the $100 million. I've been telling you.
I think he's gonna get a lot of money. I think he'll be like $80 million.
So so it's a killer to have wasted that year, even without Wheeler. They had World Series ready starting pitching, and then the other element of this is to the Phillies hitters. I mean, most people are gonna say you want Schwarber back. I do want Schwarber back. I think we all should want him back. And here's what I know: if Schwarber's back, Schwarber, Trey, and Bryce are all going to still bat in the top four or five minimum. I mean, it's not like even if you add one guy next year that's a big bopper, it's not like the top of your lineup's not going to still involve in some sequence Turner, Schwarber, and Harper, and they just failed them in this playoff.
I think we got to try to bring it back, though. Bring back Schwarber. Bring back the core with new management to just see if all of that talent can coalesce. If
I don't know, man.
If a guy who commandeers it with a little more intensity.
But it's those guys with the stick up there. Maybe, John. I mean, it's a maybe. All right, let's listen also. Let's get to this next topic, which is, the devastation of knowing that, not only do you lose this game in this round, but it's now opportunity number four with no World Series championship with a club that clearly, had they played sharper, could have won it. Rob Thompson last night.
I can't really compare because they all feel just awful. I mean, when this happens, it's like your entire world comes to a stop, and it's just a thud. And it's just not a good feeling. It really isn't. Especially, regular season, we were really good. We had a lot of wins, and we expected a lot more.
James, where does this one rank for you in your Philadelphia sports history?
Oh, man. It's really high, Joe. Like, Joe Carter was to end a World Series, and I was 12 years old, so I don't think anything will ever top that. But
agreed.
It's up there. Other than
Joe
Carter.
Well, let's start with this. Is this the worst for you of the four Phillies losses?
Yeah, it absolutely is. I know the other was in the World Series, and that sucks. But, that team we didn't expect to be there. It was such a fun run. They lost to a better team. This group this year, it felt like they had a real chance this year. It felt like a moment, and it's a great team they faced. But I think it's for the way it ended, Joe, because that's going to be the image we talked about in 50 years. But just this offseason, all we're going to think about, the first thing that we will think about when we think about the Phillies is Ryan Kirkering and his face, and then him throwing the ball over JT's head. It's the most unsatisfying ending to a season. Even, again, if he just rips a single and they lose, it's all right, I can accept that. I don't like it. I'm bummed. But, I can move forward. I feel like I can't accept this and move forward because of how it ended.
If you told me when we were doing the show yesterday that tonight something's going to happen that's, five times worse than Ben Simmons not taking the dunk. I mean, on one hand, that's such a wussy thing that it's got its own wing of shame honor. But this Kirkring thing, man, guy lost his brain. One guy lost his heart. Ben Simmons lost his heart. Kirkring lost his brain. Rhea, is this Rondé Barber territory for you or not?
Well, I thought about that because the Rondé Barber one, that game was it was, 27-10?
Yes.
That wasn't...
Well, 20-10 when it happened. 20, that made it 27-10.
Yeah.
But, that game, what was infuriating about that game was in the beginning of the game, Eagles, we thought we had that one.
Right down the field.
And then Andy decided to throw it 5,000 times. Yeah. I'm glad I got a ripping on Andy during this awful day.
And punt the ball on 4th and 2 from the 34.
Exactly. Unbelievable, man.
This one was because it was such a heavyweight battle. You're in the 11th inning. It's 1-1. And you did know a mistake was going to happen at that point. That was what was going to cost the game. But I never imagined it would be because somebody panicked on what was a basic move.
That'd be that bad.
I think, real quick,
to Rhea's point, I totally agree with that, too. That 11, that's as locked in this entire 2022 run from first pitch to last pitch in terms of, each pitch mattering, the one run. That's probably the most intense game we've had this whole run. Since
I agree. Listen, the Eagles were playing a game, and I didn't care. Now, after the Phillies game, I turned to the Eagles and watched the whole thing.
And
on
apparently,
delay,
but... either did they, Joe.
Right. So, look, how old is that? You can tell us at 215-592-9494 where this one ranks for you. I know for me it's very high. And part of what makes it so super high is it feels like there's going to be a shift in the era. I still think the Phillies are going to make the playoffs next year and for the next couple of years. The starting pitching is just too good. So, I think they're going to be okay, big picture, proceeding forward, making the playoffs, and giving us more opportunities in October as fans. But, they're probably never going to have Ranger pitch for him again. Schwarber might not be back. JT might not be back. If those guys are back, they might be back on bad contracts for the Phillies. So then you're going to have to assess as a fan and as an organization, do you want to just eat the bad contract and accept it and be like, hey, I'm happy I got my guy back, but it's going to kill me in 3 years when the guy completely falls off the cliff and has, two more years left on his deal. That's a conundrum. Not to mention Bader, you know, I don't know that he's back. So just I really did love this team. I'd fallen in love with this team. And to know that to a certain extent, this team won't be again. You know, elements of it will be. The starting pitching's there, but all right, one more piece of audio. James, let's get down to number nine here, if you would, bud. Because I want to play audio of Rob Thompson talking about his future, which was the final question in the press conference last night. It was a good question, and I think a very good answer by Rob Thompson. Here is what he said.
Do you expect to manage next year?
Do I? That's, again, it's out of my control. I'm not even thinking about it. I got 60 people in there that are brokenhearted right now, so I'm thinking about that more so than my job right now.
All right, fair answer.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.